Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
But it's something else to watch two men at the highest level battle, and one may be favored over the other, but you never know what's going to happen. And that's why boxing is the way it is.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
He comes on damn near Papito's full steam ahead.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos. Ladies and gentlemen, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide in WBC Boxing TV. Often imitated but never duplicated, who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. Of course, I am your host. I'm also an award-winning writer and a four-time Golden Glove champion. In other words, I can fight a little bit, I can write a little bit, so supposedly I know a little bit about boxing, but I defer to the boxing fans. So I've got this open phone line for you, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. You can get your voice in here, you can impart on the show, it's your call. Also, you can text us here in the studio. The text line, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Of course, Canelo Alvarez and Billy Joe Saunders, that's in the rearview mirror. Of course, Billy Joe Saunders suffering broken orbital bones last night. And, of course, people say to me, oh, he quit like a dog. In fact, Hector was screaming that he quit like a dog. I can't believe it. These guys are just bloodthirsty boxing fans. Like, you know, I mean, these are guys, you know, they never took those severe ass whoopings in their life. I mean, they always sat ringside and they were managers and trainers and that kind of good stuff, but they never took the ass whoopings themselves. Okay, that's because they had decent ability, but the bottom line is, you don't say a guy quit like a dog when he has a broken orbital bone. Bottom line is, the fight was over. Once the competition ends, the fight should end. Guess what? He's a human being, not a piece of garbage. He's a human being. Treat him like a human being. At the end of the night, Canelo Alvarez is a better fighter, pound for pound, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide in WBC Boxing TV. Of course, I'll bring you Sir Kenneth Rainford, and we'll go prime time with Eddie Croft in this hour of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV. Watching the man with the fast feet. Down to the nightclub. You can get what you want. That is the baritone saxophone of the funky doctor himself, Stephen Mackenzie Kupka. Funky Doctor wrote some good songs like Soul Vaccination. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV. Floyd Mayweather back in the news. And not for anything good. He's going to fight some guy by the name of Logan Paul. Logan Paul couldn't lick a stamp if you wet his tongue. Okay, he couldn't. They couldn't spell fight if you gave him all the letters and put it on a piece of paper and said, spell fight. He couldn't spell it. He couldn't. Okay? But yet Floyd's going to engage him. He's a YouTuber type of guy. YouTube fight. So he's not a fighter. He's had one fight. He lost to one fight. So Floyd's going to fight this guy that's bigger than him, sort of looks like a bit of a lumberjack, this and that. And they're going to do it on pay-per-view. And guess what? Some of you people are going to pay for it. I can't believe it. I can't believe you would pay for Floyd Mayweather. I just can't. I mean, if he was a porno movie, if he was in pornography, like, you know, X-rated movies, there would never be a money shot. Because with Floyd Mayweather, the action stops when the bell rings. In other words, if he was doing movies, the action would stop when the camera went on. I mean, there's one and the same. He's just totally unentertaining to me. He's never, listen, there isn't one fight out there that I want to see Floyd Mayweather fight again. Not one. I mean, Castillo, maybe. Yeah, the fight with Castillo, it was a rough rumble the first time around. He won the second time, no doubt about that. But there's not one fight that I say to myself, you know what? I'm sitting here at YouTube, kicking back at home, you know, doing something maybe illegal, slightly illegal, not anymore. And, you know, I want to watch some fights. I never want to watch a Floyd Mayweather fight. Why would I want to watch a Floyd Mayweather fight unless I needed to go to sleep? Unless I was a tweaking crack addict. Unless I was hooked out on methamphetamine and I've been awake for 2 weeks and I needed something to put me to sleep. Guess what? Floyd will put you to sleep. And not with knockout power like Roberto Duran or Tommy Hearns or Sugar Ray Leonard or Marvin Hagler, any of the great fighters, because those guys were great fighters. Truly great fighters. Epic fighters. Iconic fighters. Floyd Mayweather? Not so much. Just not so much. Has he made a lot of money? Absolutely. Has he made more money than anybody else? Absolutely. Does he deserve to win that money? Does he deserve to make that kind of money? If you can make it, you deserve it. So he deserved to make it. There's no doubt about it. Do I wish he would just go away? Yes, I've been wishing that for a long time. I mean, I can't believe he keeps going and going. I mean, this is a guy I saw have an emotional breakdown. He was crying. He was crying, weeping when he lost to, I think it was Augie Sanchez over at the Olympic Trials in 1996 in Olympic in the Jack London Square over there in Oakland, California. Okay, so he lost this fight. He started crying. He had this big emotional breakdown. Shelly Finkel, the guy with the money, was trying to get into a deal with Floyd at that point in time. So he was kissing Floyd's ass. I'll take care of it, Floyd. I'll take care of it, Floyd. So Floyd lost in the Olympic trials, and then they allowed him to come back in the box off. So they pick a special athlete in the box off, and they come back and fighting the Olympic trials champions. That's how Floyd Mayweather got into the Olympics. I'm not trying to say he went back door or anything like that, but he lost in the Olympic trials, and he broke down like a little baby. He was crying, sniveling. I couldn't move. I wish I had videotaped it. I wish we had phones back then with cameras. We had phones in 1996, but they were like bricks. Okay, they weren't phones with cameras in them. Bottom line is, Mayweather, the most undesirable guy as far as boxing is concerned. As far as I'm concerned, I never want to see him fight ever again. I don't even want to see the dude. When I see him, in fact, you know what would be sort of cool? Is if this guy Logan Paul stepped on his foot and knocked him out. Because I think that's the only chance that Logan Paul has. In other words, Logan Paul standing there, right, steps on his foot and hits Floyd Mayweather on the chin and knocks him out. Because he's a 190-pound guy, and if he hits Floyd on the chin, he's still getting hit by a 190-pound guy, okay? And, you know, Floyd will crumble, I think. There's no doubt about that. I think that Floyd can't take the shots of a bigger guy if he can punch with leverage. But this isn't a boxer. This is a YouTube guy. So what am I trying to tell you? Looks like a clown show. This absolutely looks like a clown show. Now, as far as opponents are concerned for Canelo Alvarez, I keep getting texts here, hot texts. Benavidez is the guy. Yes, no doubt about that. Of course, David Benavidez, we talked about that earlier, WBC super middleweight champion at one point in time until he couldn't make weight, until he started sniffing that cocaine. And Hector said to me this morning, you know, so many, Canelo's the exception to the rule. Everybody does cocaine. No, not everybody does cocaine, Hector. Not everybody does cocaine. The bottom line is not everybody does. And Benavidez has cleaned up his act. Mauricio says he's clean. Of course, Mauricio sort of got him, WBC is the one that popped him on the cocaine. I think they heard that he might have been partying a little bit too much. So they said, guess what? We're going to ask you for a random drug test. So I asked him for a random drug test. He tested positive for cocaine. Of course, coke only stays in your system for 72 hours. So for 3 days prior to that drug test, he had been doing some blow. Well, guess what? He's off the blow. He's back to working hard. Of course, coming off that fight a couple of months ago where he looked semi-impressive. You know, I mean, still undefeated, no doubt about that. And the ex-WBC super middleweight champion, when he hooks it up with Canelo Alvarez, this will be the battle for all of Mexico. We have a Mexican-American against a Mexican national. He's going to make some good numbers, no doubt about that. As far as Canelo's next opponent is concerned, it'll probably be Caleb Plant. He's got a 168-pound title. I'll go into that in the next segment of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Once again, open phone lines around the planet, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, June the 5th in Miami, Florida. Evander Holyfield taking on Kevin McBride. Of course, the aforementioned Kevin McBride. This guy's a slob. I mean, this is a big old Irish dude. I was looking at him when Mike Tyson fought him, and then Mike Tyson just quit against him. I couldn't believe it. It was like a nightmare. I'm saying to myself, how could Mike Tyson lose to Lennox or lose to a Lummox or lose to a guy that's like Lurch in the Addams Family? That's the best way I can describe Kevin McBride athletically. Lurch in the Addams Family, and that's not much. Anyway, he's going to take on the real deal, Evander Holyfield. Of course, Holyfield and I go back to, May of 1984 with the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs, and I'm bitching about the pancakes. And Evander Holyfield was bit from the hood, so he was just happy to be eaten. You hear what I'm saying? But I was bitching about the food. I wasn't from the hood. I was bitching about the food. Evander said to me, man, just sit down and eat your food. No, I sat down and ate. Because that was the first time we met, May 1984. And of course, Evander Holyfield now coming back against Kevin McBride. The eventual goal is to hook it up with Mike Tyson. Wow. Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield for a third fight. Would it be a real fight or would it be an exhibition? Do they want to fight with those big pillow gloves or do they want to fight with real gloves and no headgears? Bottom line is, these guys want to hook it up and they can pass doctor's physicals. I'm game for that. No doubt about it. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV, of course. Next up, Sir Kenneth Rainford from the UK talking UK boxing and more live on Ring Talk Worldwide.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
Oh, you're too much.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
Past the hour. This is hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, aka WBC Boxing TV. Of course, we come to you live and delayed both on Twitch.tv, the Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, of course, on iHeartRadio as well. Of course, SiriusXM Satellite Radio Channel 217. You name it, we're there. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Let's take it from the west coast of the United States to the UK and bring in our ace, Sir Kenneth Rainford. How are you this morning, Sir Kenneth?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine now. Your boy last night had a broken orbital bone. People were criticizing the ending of that fight. You know, I had no criticism whatsoever. Once the guy's beaten, he's beaten. There's no sense for a guy to take additional damage.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. But the thing about that surprised me about the fight was the scorecards. I know it wasn't an exciting fight or nothing like that, but I had our guy slightly ahead. In fact, not slightly. I gave him most of the first six rounds. Canelo just walked him down and didn't really do much until the seventh round, where he turned the steam on, and then obviously that's when he done the damage to the body and the eye, and they pulled him out of there before he would have gotten hurt. There's no two ways about that. But I found the scorecards quite remarkable.
Well, you know, I argued with a couple of people on the phone this morning. They didn't think that he was piling up any rounds. I thought he was piling up rounds, but as one guy said, he was sort of like sparring. It was sort of like a sparring event for him until he got cracked. He was sparring Billy Joe Sanders until he got cracked and he was taking real serious. But at the end of the day, of course, I thought he put up a decent effort. People say that he quit in the corner. He just can't. You know, Kenny, people that haven't been punished and haven't been hurt and haven't been put in that type of position have no idea. They're just looking for the entertainment factor. They want to see some guy get laid out.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, I once had a perforated eardrum. My God, that was one of the worst injuries you know I could have had in boxing. But to the layman looking on the outside of the ring, it just looked like you got caught with, you know, a punch around the head.
You know, speaking of punches in the eardrum, Barry McGuigan had a broken eardrum going into the Stevie Cruz fight back in 1996, I believe. And Barney Eastwood, the promoter, called me in the morning of the fight after the weigh-in and says, Pedro, I think Barry's got a broken eardrum. What do you think? I said, I don't think he should be fighting. What happened that night? Barry got beat.
Yeah. And the same thing happened with Larry Holmes when he fought Mike Weaver.
What, explain that to me.
Well, when Holmes fought Mike Weaver, I think it was the second or third round, he took a blow to the eardrum and it absolutely obliterated his eardrum, and he fought the entire fight. Number one, he wasn't 100%. He was feeling sick. But to, on top of that, to have a bust eardrum and go 12 rounds with Mike Weaver in the Madison Square Garden was, you know, looking back, was quite some feat to come back to clinch the win.
Yeah. June the 5th, of course, we've got pay-per-view going on in Miami, Florida, Teofimo Lopez versus George Kambosos. Last time I saw Kambosos, he was fighting your guy from the UK, Lee Selby. What was up with that split decision that night? I mean, come on, man. I mean, I thought that he routed Selby.
Yeah, he did. There's no two ways about it. But again, you know, you get some iffy judging nowadays, as you know.
Well, the veteran Daniel Vandewell was on one card, and Yuri Kopsev was the other judge. But the judge had it 115-114 for Selby. Phil Edwards. Phil, we'll just leave it at that. Anyway, so yeah. We've got Kambosos taking on Teofimo Lopez. Of course, this is for the WBC. I take that back for the World Lightweight Championship. What gives here?
I don't really know. I'm stuck on that one. I'm really stuck on that one.
Okay. All right. Let's move it up. Now, what's happening with the heavyweights? I mean, the Battle of UK, Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua. I saw Fury on TV.
It's almost on a weekly basis now. They're going to announce the fight. I'm told by Steve Woods, promoter who works with Eddie Hearn, he's VIP promotions. He tells me that there's definitely going to be an announcement this week for definite of the site, the date, everything. But a guy I want to mention to you, Pedro, I don't know if you know him too much, a guy here, he's WBA International Light Heavyweight title holder, a guy named Joshua Buatsi. Are you familiar with him?
No, I don't. Talk to me.
He's 13-0, and, you know, they're touting him as the next light heavyweight version of John McGarvey. He fights next Saturday against another unbeaten guy, 15-0. He hasn't really fought anyone, but nonetheless, he's 15-0. Daniel Blender dos Santos. And, you know, it'll make for a good fight because I think we'll find out which way Buatsi is going. At the moment, he's just blowing everyone out, and he's looking good and polished doing it, you know.
You mentioned,
great body shot punch.
You mentioned John Mugabe. I remember he basically ended Marvin Hagler's career in 1985. I mean, Hagler had the Hearns fight, and but I mean that fight with Mugabe, that took a lot of miles off Hagler's body, and of course Hagler would rumble with Ray Leonard. Ray waited 3.5 years after Roberto Duran almost beat Marvin Hagler to fight Marvin Hagler. Ray didn't show the utmost in guts at sometimes.
No, Ray was a business fighter, very, very, very great fighter on top of that, but he was a business fighter. He used to when he saw the Mugabe fight, that to him was like watching Ali Frazier 3. No one was going to come back as good again after that fight. And he just viewed that as his last opportunity to fight Hagler, and the best time to fight him, having just fought Hearns, as you said, and then a massive war with John Mugabe.
Yeah. You know, and I remember when Hagler, the only time I saw Hagler hurt was when Juan Roldan knocked him down. I was there for that. And he got up and he got up pissed off and took care of business. But I thought that was the only time I really saw Marvin Hagler hurt per se.
Yeah. And you know what? That's just reminded me of something. I've met Marvin at least 4 times. And the one question I never ever asked him, strangely enough, was who hit him the hardest. I never asked him that.
You know, he and I went back and forth over that Leonard scorecard. We argued in Mexico City. We argued in Malaga, Spain. We argued in Barcelona. I mean, everywhere we seemed to hook up the International Boxing Hall of Fame one time. So it seemed like any time that he and I got together, we debated the Leonard decision. I kept telling him, look, you gave away the first 4 rounds. This is how I put it to him, so he didn't beat me up. I said, you probably gave away the first 4 rounds, and then you allowed Leonard to steal 3 rounds down the stretch. I did that so I didn't get slugged.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've watched that fight numerous times. I'm a massive fan of both, particularly Hagler. But, you know, come on, I score it every time for Leonard, every time.
Yeah, we've got the 140-pound championship going on May 22nd, of course, on ESPN. Your guy Josh Taylor taking on Jose Ramirez. Of course, this is for all the belts at 140 pounds. Ramirez is a slight favorite here. Now, you're going with your guy. Tell me why.
I just get good reports about him in the gym. He's a dedicated fighter. He makes the weight well. He's looking good in training. He's very much the flavor of everyone in this country at the moment. And I just hope they're just not, you know, hope they're just not getting carried away with him. I don't think they are. Everyone I speak to said he's the real deal. So we'll wait and see. But like you say, Ramirez is the, it's a slight favorite, but, you know, that means nothing.
And this will be on ESPN. So when they show these fights in the UK now, is ESPN fights, are they on Sky Sports still?
No, we've got ESPN on our, so, you know, depending on what package you get with your sports network, you get ESPN as well.
Okay, so what's Sky Sports doing as far as Barry Hearn taking his boxing and going to the zone? Are they freaking out?
Oh, my God. He's trying to pull the ultimate Atlantic swimming challenge. By working with both, surely that can't work. He's trying to say he'll do UK work with Sky Sports, but he'll go on the worldwide stage with DAZN. That's not what Sky Sports want. Sky Sports want, you know, they want all the big events on their network shows. You know.
You know, I don't know who the British chick was. It was the headline. Was headlining the broadcast last night. But I thought she did a good job.
Yeah, she's not bad. Her name slips me, but she's she hosts every Sky Sports boxing show, and you know she knows her stuff. You know her and Johnny Nelson and the guys. You know they know well. You know.
You know how come? You know, although I will say this, that the British announcers will pull for their guys, and but they're really honest about it. In other words, if a guy's a decided underdog, you get the aforementioned announcers you just mentioned. They'll come out and they'll say, you know, I wish him the best, but he's got a long road to haul, things like that. So they're pretty honest about their boxing over there in the UK. Of course, that's where boxing started. The Marcus of Queensbury started what? You were back then. Weren't you alive when Marcus Queensbury started boxing, Kenny?
Yeah, the Marcus Queensbury rules, yeah.
Okay. May 29th, Nordine Ubali taking on Nonito Donaire. Is Donaire like, I think it was July 7, 2007, he knocked out Victor Arcinian on Showtime to capture the World Flyweight Championship. That's a long time ago. Should he still be fighting? Kenny?
As long as he's happy to do it, and his, you know, his cornerman and his management team are looking after him, you know, that's the main thing. You know, who are we to say when a fighter shouldn't be allowed to be fighting? You know.
Okay, here's what's up. Now I can get you a fight with the winner of the Logan Paul Floyd Mayweather fight. Are you interested?
I saw the charade on YouTube with the two of them. You know.
Well, you didn't answer my question.
I'd fight the two of them in the same night.
I'd fight them both at the same time. I can't believe it. Hey, the con is on. I mean, P.T. Barnum said, P.T. Barnum, the guy that started the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus, he's the one that said there's a sucker born every minute. Anybody who's willing to buy this chump, Logan Paul, against Floyd Mayweather and call it a boxing match is a sucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just can't. I just don't even know where the interest is in that escapade. I really don't.
The reason why you don't understand the interest is that you're a boxing fan. This isn't a boxing fans fight. This is a YouTube fans fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. Anyway, what'd you think Andy Ruiz in his first comeback fight under Team Canelo? Do you think he looked good last week?
Do you know what? He it was a difficult fight for him. Moreira looked well. To be honest with you, it surprised me when he got dropped a couple of times. I thought his chin was made of sterner stuff than that, but you know. I was looking at Ruiz fighting, Deontay Wilder, I think on that show, and I think that would be a bad match now. I think
That right hand coming down the pike, that probably would take him out, no doubt about that. Now, as far as Joshua and Fury is concerned, you still going with Fury on that?
No doubt about it, yeah.
Okay. And if Fury was ringside last night for the Billy Joe Saunders fight, and you know, he looks really skinny, he looks really in shape. Has he been off too long? In other words, you can be in, there's a big difference between being in the gym and fighting.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I've been saying all along. The longer this fight goes, it takes to come off, the less likely of being able to confidently pick a winner, because the two of them is going to go stale in the gym. And, you know, they just need to get this fight on now while they're both fresh and not going stale, et cetera, you know? You know what I'm talking about. You need to fight to stay fresh, you know?
Okay. One of the lightweights, before the last question for Sir Kenneth Rainford, one of the lightweights rocking 135 pounds is one of the WBC champions, Devin Haney, born in San Francisco, undefeated 25-0, taking on Jorge Linares on May 29th. That's on the zone. Is Haney the real deal, or is he a lot of hype?
I think it's a difficult question to answer at this moment in time. I think maybe one or two more fights down the road against decent opposition, you'll get that answer.
Good enough. Sir Kenneth Rainford, we always love you. Call it the Raincast, no doubt about that. You have a great week. We thank you so much for your time. And, of course, you're the man. When it comes to the UK, Sir Kenneth Rainford is my guy.
No problem. Anytime, buddy.
Thank you, my brother. Of course, Sir Kenny coming to us live from the UK. May 29th, as I said, Nonito Donaire. Hook it up for the former champion, of course, living across the bay in Newark, California. He's got a beautiful wife. His wife calls the shot. She's his manager. Think about that. He's still fighting like a 40 years old, and his wife's a manager. What do you think? She's sort of like pushing him up the stairs? I think so. Too old to fight. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. This is my buddy Lenny Williams and Tower of Power. This time it's real, sitting across from me. If it could happen in a special way, I wish I may, I wish I might make you my all-star shining bright. I know I can feel it. This time it's real. Other girls that I had were fine, but they were mainly just to pass the time. Though I must confess I had some fun. The Mighty Tower of Power, back Monster on a Leash LP, back in 1992, of course, Tom Bowes on lead. Little short white dude singing lead for the Tower of Power. That was a bit of a twist because Tower of Power, of course, 50 years in the business, always had African-American lead singers. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV. We bring in former WBC regional champion Eddie Primetime Croft running B Street Boxing on there in San Mateo. Eddie, are you home?
I am home.
So how long were you on the road?
About 6 weeks, a little under that. But, you know, it was great being just in an environment where you could focus on the fight and focus on training, and that's why, like, training camps and camps going away are always so good.
Yeah, so what's there to do inside? What can you do besides train in Ukraine?
You know what? We're in Kiev, so it's like any other big city.
Yeah.
But the issue right now is everything was shut down due to, you know, COVID, so there wasn't much to do.
Okay.
Now, go ahead.
Let's talk about your fighter. I have a hard time saying his name. Say it for me.
Evgeny Shevchenko.
Okay. Okay. Well, his fight got canceled. Did he get a couple of bucks for that?
No, because, you know, the way that the contracts work out for a lot of the European fighters is that they sign a deal with the promoter, and the promoter, you know, will pay him monthly or you know, so they get, like, a salary.
Cool.
So, no. Yeah.
Well, the salary, listen, I've always been of the opinion, I remember when Amanda Stewart had a big sponsor, I won't even mention her name, but he had this female sponsor. She was giving all his guys paychecks. Everybody got a paycheck. Everybody was happy, of course. And then when things went bad, the paychecks were still there, and that's what they were able to fall back on, those paychecks.
Right. Yeah, and you know, I mean, that's the thing. I'm not sure what's the best way to do it, you know, as far as fighters go. So the way that they do it in Europe, they pay them salaries, and then, you know, they keep tabs on everything, right? And then when they're like fighting on another promotion show and they're getting paid, then they'll deduct that from what the fighter owes them. Until they recoup all their investment is when, you know, all the purse money goes to the fighter. So.
Okay. Now, they've got these different companies around the world, these tech firms are getting into boxing and this and that, dropping money in boxing. Is that good from your perspective? You're a manager and a trainer and things like that. Do you like the tech money?
Well, you know, I mean, I haven't seen, like, a huge tech influx from, like, any of the giants like Amazon or Google or anything like that. But, you know, I mean, like these other companies that are like streaming services like DAZN or Triller or anything, you know, Fight TV or whatever. I think it's good for, you know, any like revenue stream is good for boxing in my opinion.
Okay. Is Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul good for boxing?
I don't see why it's bad. It's an exhibition fight. It's not real. They, you know, they're doing their best to make it look real, but so, you know, I mean, you can't fault the guy for making a ton of money over a farce.
Okay, but Logan Paul couldn't lick a stamp if you wet his tongue.
Exactly. That's, you know, like I said, you can't fault the guy for making a buck, even if it's like a complete fabrication.
Okay. Last night we saw the King of Boxing, Canelo Alvarez, in action, of course, against Billy Joe Saunders. Some people had some issues with the way the fight ended. I didn't, because of the fact that when a guy is hurt and when the fight's no longer competitive, it's time for the fight to end. What was your take on the entire evening?
Well, you know, I felt like that Canelo was, you know, he looked sharp and dominant, and I don't know about the whole. A lot of people are giving Billy Joe Saunders a hard time because he gave Daniel Dubois. He gave him a hard time when he quit,
yeah,
because of his eye socket.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's more the issue. I think 10 years ago, 15 years ago, yeah, people say, you know, yeah, you fight with one eye, one arm, one leg until you can't breathe, right?
But, okay.
And guys are kind of different nowadays,
okay.
You know, so it's not the same as it was when we were fighting.
Okay, how good is the kid from San Francisco, Devin Haney, the undefeated WBC champion, 25 and zip, taking on Jorge Linares, the 29th on the zone for the WBC, or one of the WBC titles? How good is he?
You know what? I think he's very skilled. Do I think he is going to transcend to be a generational talent? I'm not sure about that, but. You know, he's definitely going to beat Linares. Linares is really shop-worn. So, yeah, you know, I mean, he's going to run through him, and, you know, it'll be a one-sided fight. I don't know about a stoppage, but it'll definitely be one-sided. I don't know if he can beat Teofimo Lopez.
Yeah, nobody.
I'm not sure about that.
I don't think anybody can beat Teofimo Lopez. Eddie Cross, our guest, of course, the former WBC regional champion, the man that runs B Street Boxing down there in San Mateo. Now, I was down there in San Mateo. I got a pizza at Amici's the other day. And are you too far from Amici's or what?
No, I'm half a block away.
Half a block away from Amici's. So in San Mateo, California, you want to go get a pizza and see some boxing as well. Eddie Cross, primetime Eddie Cross got the B Street Boxing going on. So can people come in the gym and look at stuff going on if they want?
Yeah, they can come in. They can take classes. I have classes for, everyday normal fitness classes for normal people. We start at 5:30 in the morning and, go throughout the day. So, yeah, we're open for business and, come
okay.
on back.
Okay, so how do they get in contact with Primetime Eddie Croft? You got a website?
You can check my website. All my contact info's on there, bstreetboxing.com.
Bstreetboxing.com. Now, Ryan Garcia pulled out of his fight with, Javier Fortuna, claiming mental, emotional issues, this and that. Hector Martinez jumped all over him, and Hector gets anxiety attacks, so I thought that was unfair. I've had my share of anxiety attacks and things like that over the years. Is the kid choking? I mean, how do we deal with this? You're a trainer. How do you deal with somebody's fragile emotional status?
That's always like an issue that you have to like deal with as a trainer, because some kids are like real strong mentally and go through anything, and there's other kids that are like kind of a little fragile, so you have to deal with them with just like real soft hands, right? You can't can't be real rough with them. So, I feel like the change of trainers and someone, someone that hasn't been with him from the beginning, unless his dad is there every day. I don't know. I couldn't tell you, but okay. I just feel like, this is something that should have been, under control since he's, been a kid, because they've been grooming him for this moment since he's been young.
Okay.
Right.
So in that case,
it's specific. But, mental health, boxing is hard, man. Boxing is hard, and you're going out there with a lot of pressure, and you know that you could die, right? So, yeah, you're going to have anxiety attacks, and you're going to have to be mentally strong for those things.
The dressing room, Eddie. I mean, imagine this. The Golden Gloves, 1981, the Cow Palace. I fought in the 29th bout. The 29th bout, and they had two rings. So they were bringing guys back to my locker room on stretchers. They were bringing guys back with broken noses and Q-tips sticking out of their noses and on stretchers and laid out. I mean, so my trainer said to me, we can't look at none of this. We can't look at none of this because I was starting to get anxiety.
Well, see, I mean, and the problem is the trainer was getting anxiety too, right? So as a fighter, you're going to feed on that. You're going to feed on that energy. So, my fighters usually stay relatively calm because I'm kind of a laid back guy, when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm. Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence, will they ever fight at 147 pounds? Where does prime time go on that one?
Dude, I certainly hope so. And I'm leaning towards Crawford.
Why?
You know what? Because I feel like that he's multi-dimensional. He can fight going backwards. He can fight coming forward. He's a little, not that his defense is bad, but he thinks so much about offense that he'll get caught with shots. But, he's always been able to, shake that off and come back even harder. So, I just like the versatility of his attack. Not necessarily just, the switching of stances, but just how he can switch it up from inside, outside. He's, good at judging distance. He can follow punches back and be sharp with counter punches. So, I just feel like he has more tools to use, and he'll be able to expose or use those against someone.
Bay Area Filipino icon Nonito Donaire, 40-6, 26 KOs. Of course, he blasted on the boxing team when he knocked out Victor Chinian on July 7, 2007, 7707. Bottom line is, he's still fighting, and he's going to take on a guy by the name of Nordin Obalu, who's 17-0, that's going to take place in Carson, California, later this month. Is it time for Nonito to just walk away?
I don't know. He's been fairly competitive in the fight. Even though he's been on the losing end, he busted his eye socket open. So I don't know. Yeah, if he feels like, if he wants to fight and he's not showing any signs of CTE, then, go ahead. Okay. Yeah, they're paying him, so go ahead.
Okay, Primetime Eddie Croft is our guest. Of course, B Street Boxing is his lair down there in San Mateo, California. Now, if Canelo Alvarez is the best fighter pound for pound, who's number two? Crawford?
What's that? Yeah, I say Crawford.
Okay. I will say this about Crawford, 135, 140 pounds, 147 pounds. He still hasn't had that signature fight. And Spence hasn't had the signature fight neither. They both really need each other.
Yeah, although Crawford maybe hasn't had a signature fight, he's won titles in multiple weight divisions with undisputed champ at 140. He's got a lot behind his legacy, I feel like. It would be great to have him, fight another fighter in the pound for pound, equation, right? And that's what you're looking for as a boxer and, becoming champion. You want that type of fight where not only are you unifying titles, but you're fighting somebody that's on the pound for pound list just like you are. I don't know why they aren't both yelling for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's really weird to me. I just don't get it.
Primetime Eddie Croft, one more time, run that website by me.
www.bstreetboxing.com, and all my contact info is on there.
That's Primetime Eddie Croft. Eddie, thanks for the time, brother.
Hey, thank you so much.
Primetime Eddie Croft, San Mateo, California, Mr. Boxing Trainer Extraordinaire. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Check out the website, WBCBoxing.com.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Check it, 57 minutes past the hour. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA, often imitated but never duplicated. If you sat here for the last 2 hours or even 1 hour of the show, you realize that we are a little bit different. Of course, I come to you each and every Sunday for 2 hours, 11 a.m. Pacific time, but I also come to you on Saturday, same channel, same time, 11 a.m. Pacific time. The Saturday show is 1 hour. Of course, we come to you live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, and get this. As soon as this show's over with, it'll go up on Twitch.tv as far as a live broadcast is concerned. In fact, tomorrow they'll change it into highlights, but you'll have all the Twitch broadcasts are available at Sports Byline USA and the Twitch.tv Sports Byline USA channel. Now, got to congratulate Canelo Alvarez, no doubt about that. Fighter of the year, fighter of the decade. Call him what you want. You can't blow him up enough, okay? You just can't. He is the king of boxing. And, of course, Mr. Billy Joe Sanders, 4 breaks to his orbital bone last night, and people were calling him a PU1 or what? PUSS. You know what? Come on, man. I just can't believe that boxing fans, especially ex-boxers, are that primitive that they want guys to go out there and get killed. Once a guy gets beat, the fight's over with. In fact, if you were taking that type of beating, I would throw in the towel for you, my brother. So I don't want you taking that kind of beating. And guess what? Billy Joe Saunders shouldn't have been taking that kind of beating. After his body was broken, this was broken 4 times, call it a day. It's over. Next week, of course, boxing, rocking and rolling, ESPN Plus. You've got to have the app. If you don't have the app, shame on you. You got to have the app. Also got to have the Zone, DAZN. Of course, DAZN comes to you at $19.99 a month. If you have it on the grandfather plan like I do, he's been around a long time, you get it for $9.99 a month. But the bottom line is, the Zone's got it going on. They got the big fights. And, of course, the heavyweight championship of the world is going to go down on the Zone. Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury. Whenever that fight goes down, wherever it goes down, it will be on the Zone. Until next time, you've been tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I want to thank my most beautiful co-host here today, Miss Vega. She was here having a great time, so I want to thank her for her time today. And, of course, thank my producer, Mr. Scott Cuddy. I want to thank my man, the godfather, Larry Merchant, Kenny Rayford, Aaron Snow, and, of course, the man, Canelo Alvarez. Until next time, there's a million things you could be doing right now. The fact you're listening and watching Ring Talk Live Worldwide, my name is Pedro Fernandez. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Until next time, peace, love, and a ton of respect. Love somebody.